Good morning, everyone. Today we are reading from Pastor Shiva, Lesson 31. What is karma? God Shiva creates the cosmos and he resides within it. His many special laws or systems are at work within our complex universe. The law that causes an object to fall to the earth we call gravity. The law that governs the reaction of thoughts, words, and deeds we call karma. It is an automatic system of divine justice. By this law, what we sow, we will reap. Actions and the fruit of action are both called karma. There are three kinds of karma. The karma of all deeds done in our past lives. The karmas we bring into this birth to experience. And the karmas we are making by our actions now. Good, helpful thoughts, words, and deeds bring good karma to us in the future. Hurtful actions bring back to us painful karma. Doing bad is like planting poison ivy. Doing good is like planting delicious mangoes. Understanding the law of karma gives us the power to act wisely and create a positive future. Gurudeva said, "You are the writer of your own destiny, the master of your ship through life." He meant that karma is not fate. It can be overcome. Through understanding the effect of their actions, individuals sooner or later learn to refrain from committing misdeeds. This is what we mean by saying, karma is our teacher. It teaches us to refine our behavior. Even difficult karmas help us grow. By teaching us the painful results of unwise actions. No matter how well we understand karma, facing it bravely is still a challenge. Our ego gets in the way. Our emotions are stirred and we react without thinking. Such weakness can be overcome by perfecting our character according to the yamas and niyamas. The effects of karma can be softened in several ways. By accepting and not reacting. By doing penance. By performing good deeds that balance the not so good we have done. And by seeking the grace of God and Guru. Karma applies not only to individuals, but to groups, communities, and nations. One of the ways I used to explain that karma is an automatic system of divine justice is the idea of a computer program that in Western thinking, someone does something and God rewards or punishes it, right? Keeps God very busy. Lots to do. In Hinduism, God has a more efficient system. He wrote a computer program that delineates all possible actions and then gives a reaction for each one. So the much simpler. Then he can just let it run on automatic. So it's automatic. It's an automatic system of divine justice that's there in place. It governs action and reaction, not just the falling of an object, such as the law of gravity. The the text uses the word fate and says, karma is not fate. Then it says, you are the writer of your own destiny. So we get these English words, fate and destiny. What exactly is the difference? I was researching it, and I had forgotten the most obvious and longest explanation Gurudeva gave it. It's in the Koral. It's in our both versions of the Koral. Chapter 38 is on Ul, which can be rendered as karma. In our translation, it's rendered as destiny because we don't use, we're using English words in the translation. So we rendered it as destiny. And all the verses talk about when the word ul is used, it uses the English word destiny. Gurudeva comments on that. Ah, destiny. Something that applies to both paths. So the Koral, as you know, the first part is an introduction, four verses, then we get the family path, then we get the renunciate path, and then we get one chapter, separate section, one chapter on destiny. Something that applies to both paths, that of the families and that of the renunciates. Call it karma, but never fate. Some have translated the Tamil word ul as fate, equating fate with karma. However, fate implies an unavoidable doom, and that is not a description of karma. Webster's dictionary says, fate refers to the inevitability of a course of events as supposedly predetermined by a god or other agency beyond human control. Destiny refers to an inevitable succession of events as determined supernaturally or by necessity, but often implies a favorable outcome, unquote. I prefer the word destiny, says Gurudeva, from the Latin meaning determination, fixed standing. If either must be used, meaning fate or destiny, as destiny implies less inevitability and flows better with the reality that each soul creates its own future by its own actions. It's a nice description there of the difference. Well, my comment is, as you can see from the first paragraph of Gurudeva's commentary below, the concept of fate is that the source of what is going to happen to you is external to you. Well, that's a crucial component of the word fate. You didn't create it. Somebody else did. Somebody very powerful. Whereas the concept of destiny is more general and a better word to use than fate. Another way of using English words is to say self-created destiny. So that's a nice way of explaining it. It's a destiny, but who made this destiny? You did. It's self-created. You made it by what you did in your past lives. And if you're an old soul, even by what you did in this life, can come back quickly enough. Using Sanskrit or Tamil, we can use the meaning of karma from the Mayan Academy lexicon of a consequence or fruit of action, karmapala. That's the most precise term, fruit of action. What's happening to us is the fruit of action, or the effect, or the reaction. So the fruit. Something is done, and then it causes the fruit of action. Karmapala, that's called. It's interesting, the Tamil lexicon, in defining ul, says karma, then it says fruit of karma. fruit of deeds committed in a former birth or births. That's the formal definition of ul. So fruit of karma or fruit of deeds. Very nice way of looking at that. One of the ways that the term karma is used by those who don't understand it is in a fatalistic sense. It's my karma, what can I do? It's my karma, why should I even try? It's not going to work out. It's just my karma that it's not going to work out. A fatalistic sense about karma. That is something that can't be changed. Well, the lesson addresses that at the end here. It says the effects of karma can be softened in several ways. So the other word we use for softened is mitigated, but this is keeping the word simple. It doesn't even use Sanskrit to describe karma. So mitigation, making less, right? Karma can be softened, mitigated in several ways. Then the simple explanation I use is if someone's in jail serving a 2-year sentence and they get reduced to 1 year because of good behavior. It was mitigated. It was made less. Why? By their current behavior. Their current behavior changed the consequence of a past action. Or even the justice system reflects the law of karma there. How can it be softened, mitigated? By accepting and not reacting. Accepting, of course, means when we ask the question, who created this? We give the answer, I did. If we give the answer, someone else did, we're not accepting. Accepting it is our creation. That's the way I would interpret accepting. It's our creation. And not reacting. Reacting can also just mean retaliating. He treated me this way, therefore I'm going to treat him back. Or he mistreated me, so I'm going to not talk to him for 2 months. We're retaliating, so we created it, but we're retaliating against someone else, so that's obviously creating a new karma. If we do something back, even just with our thoughts, we're creating a new karma. The karma comes, it's gone, then we retaliate, and we created a new one, so we're not making progress. Probably we created a more refined karma, but we still created one. There's a verse in the Quran on that idea which says there's an interesting way you can punish someone who mistreats you. You can be kind to them and embarrass them by their own behavior. In other words, they're punished because they realize their behavior was so crude. So you're making them realize how crude their behavior was. And that's the form of retaliation. And that doesn't create a karma. By performing good deeds that balance the not so good we have done, that one's obvious. Karma yoga, that's one of the rationales between karma yoga for seva, is that it's softening our karmas. Not getting rid of them. This is all softening or mitigating. Karma yoga softens them, or they come in a less negative form. That's what happens. Seeking the grace of God and Guru. So grace can do the same thing. Just happens in a much less negative way. Then there's one point that's not made in this lesson. It's a little advanced, so it was left out. Mitigation is good, right? We make something negative less negative. But what if we can get rid of it? Doesn't that sound better? Well, that's harder to do. That's why it's left out. It's not something 16-year-olds will necessarily be successful at. Gurudeva explains it in the Master Course Trilogy. I don't recall where it is, but he's talking about the seeds. He says the seed, karma, is a seed, and it can be fried by the grace of the deity. So that's just like the sprouts. If you take seeds and you fry them and then try and sprout them, they won't sprout. So because heat has been applied to the seed, it no longer will sprout or produce a karmapala. So the heat is intense grace of the deity. Well, how do you receive intense grace of the deity? Well, the easiest way to receive intense grace of the deity is a pilgrimage to the major temples in India. You go on a 2-week, 4-week pilgrimage in the right spirit, because temple pilgrimage is like temple worship. It's not automatic. You know, just because you're standing there and in the temple, these wonderful things happen. No, it's in the mind. We have to have our mind in the right place. The mind has to be unusually focused on the deity and open to blessings. And then we have to be there at a time when the temple is producing blessings. So the blessings received from the deity in a powerful pilgrimage can actually eliminate the karma. So that's good. Can eliminate the karma. Oh, thank you very much. Om Namah Shivaya.